Dr. Harry Edwards is with us on Sports Byline USA. And before the break, I alluded to the fact that the Washington Redskins, they've had protests against their nickname, the Redskins. It's one that has been a part of the Washington franchise for a long time. They had a prejudiced owner at the very beginning of their existence. And a lot of people are not happy with it. I've said on this program, I don't think any white people would be very happy if there was a team that was named the Whiteys, or if they used any other derogatory term for anybody else in society. Harry, what are we talking about here when we're talking about Redskins? A lot of people will say, well, it honors Native Americans. Other people will say, the Native Americans really like being depicted in such a heroic manner.
You know, I do not dismiss the notion that there might be Native American individuals, perhaps even organized groups, who don't mind the Redskin moniker. I don't dismiss the idea that there are people in non-Native American communities who feel that it is perfectly all right. But the reality is that I don't care whether you're talking about Western movies from the 1940s, 50s, and even into the 60s, which routinely referred to redskin devils and all of the rest. It is a ethnic and racial slur. And to be perfectly honest with you, I do not understand why it is that it is the redskin organization, quote unquote, that has been given the latitude as to whether or not to change that mascot name. I think that it's a league issue. I think that this is one that is sitting directly on Commissioner Goodell's desk. If he's interested in really protecting the integrity of the shield, the dignity of the game, then I would think that one of the things that you would do, along with coming down real hard on people who are involved in open cases of racial slurs and so forth as individual athletes or as other people associated with the game, I would think that you would come down real hard on such a name, a team name such as the Redskins. And I think it's a league issue. I don't think that the Redskins should be given the latitude to decide as to the appropriateness and legitimacy of that moniker.
You know, having said that, and I tend to agree with you on this, you've got to wonder then, why doesn't the league step in and take over on this issue?
I think that it is something that from, you know, I've been around this issue now for going on 20 years. The first time that I became involved with it was about 20 years ago. Some of the people in the hierarchy of the NFL do not believe that it's an issue that is worth pursuing. There are others who believe that tradition is sacrosanct and that the Redskins are a venerable organization in the NFL family hierarchy of franchises, and that it should not be tampered with. There are others who feel quite comfortable with the moniker Redskins. They don't see anything offensive about it. They believe that it really honors Native Americans for them to be mentioned at all within the context of something so pursued and praised as NFL football. So there are all kinds of reasons why people have not lined up behind, say, the commissioner and demanded that this be changed. But none of that excuses the fact that in the 21st century, we are still naming teams and team mascots based upon derogatory slurs against people, most of whom turn out to be minorities.
Let me share with you a personal experience. I've been talking about this for about 20 years, and I remember when I first started talking about it, I had a caller, and we were talking about the Redskins. We were talking about the Cleveland Indians as well, and particularly the logo that represents the Cleveland Indians, a very cartoonish logo. And I'll never forget this call because there had been a number of people who called and said, you know, about the same things you said, about tradition and the fact that it honors Native Americans as well. And a woman who was a full-blooded Apache said, I just want to share this thought with those people that think this is okay. How do I explain to my daughter that we do not look like the Cleveland Indians logo?
Yeah, yeah. And this of course, is what everybody who is concerned about this issue is focused on, not just what it says about where we have been and where we are, but what it says about the constraints and limits of perception and so forth that we carry forward when we're looking for greater unity and greater humanity in this increasingly ever more diverse society. I'm sitting here looking at Louisville women's basketball team, and two of their stars are two ladies from a reservation, two full-blooded Native American young women. And I'm quite certain, and in looking at them, they don't look like the Cleveland Indian logo. I'm quite certain they would resent somebody coming up to them and saying, you Redskins really played a great game. This is where the rubber hits the road, and this is why it should go, and this is why it is a league issue and not a Washington Redskins issue. That's like leaving the bank robbery investigation up to Jesse James. At some point, you're going to have to get serious about the integrity and viability and dignity of the NFL product and shield, or you're going to have to admit only in some cases where it involves money or licensing rights and so forth and so on.
Dr. Harry Edwards is with us, noted sports sociologist. He is considered to be the leading authority on issues of race in sports, and he's been doing this for an awful long time. I'm going to share with you a story, and I want to see what your read is on this story, Harry. It says the commissioner's office, referring to Major League Baseball, says that 28.1% of Major League Baseball players on opening day's rosters were born outside of the 50 United States. It's the fourth highest amount in big league history, trailing last season, 2007 and 2005. There were 241 players born outside the United States out of the 856 players on the 30 big league rosters, disabled list, and restricted list. The Dominican Republic, winner of the recent World Baseball Classic, was the best represented country with 89 players. Venezuela was second at 63, then Canada at 17, Cuba 15, Mexico 14. Puerto Rico had 13 players, Japan 11, Colombia and Panama had four each. Australia, South Korea, and Nicaragua each had two. And Milwaukee had the most foreign-born players with 14, and Texas was next at 13. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me, first of all, sport always recapitulates society. What you find in society is what you find in sport. We're in an age of globalization. And what that means is that sport inevitably is going to become less an activity representing national demographic profiles and more an activity in most instances representing international demographic profiles. The second thing that it tells me is that the business design, the business scheme for baseball has changed. When Jackie Robinson came into Major League Baseball, it was a business deal that Branch Rickey was pursuing as much as a brotherhood concern. Coming out of World War II, there was a manpower shortage. There was a shortage of recreational dollars. And what Branch Rickey did was to look at the Negro League, see this untapped pool of talent, and more than that, see these Negro dollars that he could bring into these stadiums. And so he cut the deal. But the business plan has changed. Now, under globalization, they realize that they can recruit internationally. They can set up these academies in Panama, in Puerto Rico, in the Dominican Republic, literally grow their own product and do not have to be restricted to American athletic baseball talent. And so the business plan has changed. It's not accidental that you have about 26%, 27%, 28%, I guess you said, this year of athletes being foreign-born in Major League Baseball, but the proportion of African-American athletes have dropped from 23% in 1973 down to about 8.1%. at the beginning of this season, and it is continuing to drop. The business plan has changed, and the impact of that under globalization means that the days are numbered for African Americans playing baseball in American major league circles.
Is the reason partially, I have had long talks with Joe Morgan, and I'm sure you have as well,
yes,
about that, is it partially because there's a longer road to making it in Major League Baseball, and we're looking for immediate gratification? You come out of college, you could come out of college after 1 year and get millions of dollars playing in the NBA. You can come out if you know a little bit early if you want in the National Football League and get millions of dollars as well. Are blacks gravitating away from baseball for that reason or any other reason?
Well, let me say this. For every complicated, convoluted problem, there's a simple answer that is absolutely wrong or at best incomplete. This is a problem that has many facets to it. One, with integration and the middle class migration out of the traditional black community, those communities begin to collapse institutionally as well as culturally. They begin to deteriorate. And so now you go into the parks that Bill Russell learned basketball on, that Frank Robinson learned baseball on, that even as late as Gary Payton learned to play basketball, Cito Gaston learned to play baseball. You go into those parks today, and in many instances, they're dangerous places to be. And the same with regard to the parks that Willie McGee grew up playing baseball on in Brooklyn, New York. These parks, in some instances, have been taken over by gangs, by drug activities, and so forth, and in any event, are very dangerous places to be. So you begin to get a breakdown at that level. You also begin to get a breakdown in these communities in terms of family structure. You find that there are lower marriage rates. You find that there are more out of wedlock births. You find that there are more families struggling to stay together and to maintain their family profile. This also means that you don't have the dads taking the sons to baseball games. You don't have the granddads and the dads taking the younger children to baseball games. And then you have what has all too often happened in terms of simply the price of going, the money that you have to spend for parking and the hot dogs and all that stuff, even when they make the tickets accessible, by the time you get through with all of the stuff that goes around that, you could be out of $150, $200 for a weekend for a family of four. People just don't have that kind of money in those communities. So after a period of time, you find that people not only are not playing baseball, they don't even watch it. So when you combine that with the fact that basketball is a bit more accessible, less a family oriented, if you will, kind of a sport, you will get some people who are choosing to go basketball rather than baseball. But football requires more equipment, requires a field, requires more coaches and so forth. But blacks still play football because the schools have such an investment in pursuing football in many instances. So it's a complicated problem. I think Joe has a part of that when he talks about alternatives to young people who want to become engaged in sports in the African-American community, but it's a much more complicated problem than that. It stretches from the black community to the academies in the Caribbean to the kinds of focus that teams today put on ticket pricing, parking, and all that kinds of stuff.
Harry, I want to thank you. As you know, we've known each other for a very long time, and every time we talk, particularly on the air, it's always insightful. I think it's educational as well, and I think that having conversations and also information is one of the things that drops stigmas on anything in life. Thank you, sir,
right,
and I'll talk to you soon.
Next time we talk, we'll have to talk about the bullying situation that persists in sports. That's one that I think is going to become a big issue going forward.
Thank you, Harry. Harry Edwards bye-bye. With us, of course, noted sports sociologist and considered the leading authority on issues of race and sports. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.